following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.906 GDP contracted at 1% pace in first quarter. First quarter downturn reflects patterns seen repeatedly over past 5 years. Wall Street Journal. U.S. economy contracted in the first quarter, the latest stumble for a recovery that has struggled to find its footing since the recession ended almost 5 years ago. Do you realize this is an absolutely anemic national recovery? And the liberal response is, that's because we didn't spend enough on the stimulus. The policies of the Obama administration have made this just one of the weakest recovery, and it's a long one. It's a long recovery. We have been in recovery for 5 years now. And just like a patient, that's not good news. After 5 years, you'd like to be out of recovery. And now, we had a relapse. Much of this is being blamed on the harsh winter on this continent, in the United States. And I'm not saying that's false. There is some merit to that. But the reality is, anything like that, any negative influence in this economy can't, in this case, literally, weather the storm. That's just the reality. And yet, one of the things liberals have been very successful at is still painting this as George Bush's fault. 5.5 years. When is this ever in their mind, and by they, I mean the left and the left in the mainstream media, when is this ever going to be Barack Obama's economy? And God forbid, but if Hillary Clinton or if any other Democrat is elected in 2016, is it going to be Obama's fault? Actually, it might be. Because if it is her, she's going to have to run from him. Particularly, perhaps, on the economy. Again, I'm not saying that the harsh winter is a completely bogus excuse. It isn't. But it's this fits and starts pattern that you just haven't seen, I should say that you have seen, throughout the recovery. All right, I want to now get to a topic that, quite honestly, we did not get to yesterday. I did blog on it after the show. It was the story broke on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal about Scott Walker. And this has been interesting. The Wall Street Journal has an inside source on Wisconsin's John Doe 2.0. They have someone who's connected with the Wisconsin Club for Growth, who's one of the targeted groups. But it's interesting. So they have used that source to break several stories. I mean, they really broke the first major story on this. The Journal Sentinel broke its existence. But then all the other major developments have come from the Wall Street Journal, but on their editorial page. Generally, what happens when you have a scoop, you report it as straight news, and then perhaps you opine on it in your opinion pages. They have broken all of this stuff on their opinion page. Now, that might be because they understand that their source is very loaded, one-sided, so they don't feel comfortable in reporting. I don't know. But anyway, that's what they've done. Yesterday, and it actually posted on the Wall Street Journal Tuesday night, yesterday's story was that Scott Walker might be trying to cut a deal to end his involvement in John Doe 2.0. This set off a firestorm politically yesterday that some are calling a civil war among conservatives in Wisconsin, specifically Scott Walker and the groups being targeted. The groups being targeted have gone to court to stop this John Doe 2.0. Two judges have said no laws were broken. And it appears that the investigation is falling apart and will implode under its own weight. So why would Scott Walker try to negotiate with prosecutors to protect himself? What is he protecting himself from, and does this mean he's dumping on his friends? The friends who went to bat for him, conservative groups during the recall, now he's allowing them to twist in the wind. However, then the counter to that is, while they're not really twisting in the wind, if they're going to get this thing ended anyway, well, but then why does he look for some type of deal with prosecutors that will leave the impression that he had something to hide? That's what happens when you cut a deal. All evidence is there's no there there. Yet Governor Scott Walker apparently is concerned that John Chisholm and Bruce Landgraf in the Milwaukee County DA's office will try to fabricate a there, perhaps in September or October. Let me read some of the editorial, and then I want to share with you what happened since this posted. Wisconsin prosecutors have suffered a series of stunning legal defeats in recent months as they pursue a secret investigation of the conservative groups that helped Governor Scott Walker get elected. Those cases are shaping up as a major political victory for free speech and political debate, unless a last-minute settlement rescues the prosecutors. We've learned that Stephen Biskupic, who represents Friends of Scott Walker, that's his campaign, has been negotiating with Wisconsin Special Prosecutor Franz Schmitz to settle the state's investigation. The understandable concern among the direct targets of the John Doe is that Mr. Biskupic will cut a deal that would exonerate Mr. Walker while wresting concessions from some of Mr. Walker's allies. The secret John Doe investigation began with raids and subpoenas in fall of 2013 in pursuit of a theory of illegal coordination between the Walker campaign and conservative groups. In recent weeks, the politicized investigation has been pummeled by judicial rulings that undermine the prosecutor's entire legal case. In February, John Doe Judge Gregory Peterson quashed subpoenas on grounds that prosecutors led by DA John Chisholm and Mr. Schmitz had not shown probable cause that any campaign finance laws had been broken. Earlier this month, Federal District Judge Rudolph Randa issued a preliminary injunction stopping the John Doe. This legal progress makes the prospect of a premature Walker settlement all the more puzzling. Mr. Walker is facing a rough re-election fight this year, and perhaps he and his lawyers want to remove any chance of a September or October legal surprise. Yet based on the evidence and legal judgments we've seen, the prosecutors should be on the defensive, not Mr. Walker. Judge Peterson clearly sees no evidence of any crime. The federal lawsuit that triggered Judge Randa's preliminary injunction names the prosecutors in their personal and professional capacities, so they're the ones who may need a face-saving legal exit. Mr. Walker might think he can help himself with a settlement, but he'd be letting down his allies if he did so in a way that lets the bogus theory of illegal coordination survive. Wisconsin has an especially pernicious regulatory machine that targets political speech, and the legal backlash to the John Doe probe offers a rare chance to dismantle it. Mr. Walker is a hero to many for his fight against public unions, but he will tarnish that image if he sells out the cause for some short-term re-election reassurance. The backstage legal wrangling is even more troubling because prosecutors have limited scope to cut a deal under Judge Randa's preliminary injunction, which explicitly froze prosecutors from actions against the Doe targets. Any face-saving attempts by prosecutors to settle under terms that vindicate their campaign finance theories violate the spirit of the injunction and may put them in contempt of court. On Tuesday, a very clip Mr. Biskupic told us he wasn't going to comment on anything related to John Doe in Wisconsin because doing so would be a violation of court orders. But after he hung up with us, he warned other friends of Scott Walker about our call. Sounds like Mr. Walker has to decide whose side he's on, his own or the larger principles he claims to represent. That's a scathing attack on Scott Walker by the Wall Street Journal. Is he selling out his friends? Is he worried only about himself? Why try to cut a deal which will give the impression that he has something to hide when this whole thing is imploding? Late yesterday, the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel reported this. A legal civil war broke out Wednesday among targets of a John Doe probe as a conservative group sought to block prosecutors from having settlement talks with Governor Scott Walker's campaign. In a letter sent Wednesday, the Washington, D.C. attorney representing the Wisconsin Club for Growth and one of its directors questioned whether a special prosecutor in the case is negotiating with the GOP governor's campaign to seek concessions that the club might oppose. The club and its treasurer, Eric O'Keefe, filed suit in February, blah, blah, blah. In Wednesday's letter, club attorney David Rivkin asked Schmidt's attorney whether Schmidt was attempting to reach a settlement, which he said would violate Judge Randa's order. Specifically, Rivkin raised the question of whether a settlement might preclude Walker's campaign from associating with the Wisconsin Club for Growth. Let me be perfectly clear. A settlement that seeks in any fashion to further the John Doe investigation by violating Mr. O'Keefe's or the club's speech or associational rights would be a blatant violation of the preliminary injunction. Rivkin wrote to Randall Crocker, Schmidt's attorney. Your client cannot, via settlement or other maneuvers, attempt to circumvent the injunction. At least he cannot do so without seriously risking a judgment of contempt. In response to Rivkin's letter, Schmidt's attorney filed a motion Wednesday with Randa seeking clarification of his injunction, saying they wanted to confirm they were free to engage in settlement talks. So, it's clear. Scott Walker, his campaign is negotiating for some type of settlement that perhaps would say he won't associate with the Club for Growth or that the Club for Growth wouldn't do anything on his back. I don't know. Now, I had a chance to hear some conservative reaction to this. I heard one conservative reaction that defended Scott Walker on this. I think this is a tremendous mistake by the Walker camp. I will make my case on that in 5 minutes. It's 9:18.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.